So welcome back to another episode of Lock It or Leave It. Great episode today. Big weekend of playoff basketball. The Grand Prix went off too, but the Bucks barely winning game three. Golden State protects home court. Dallas ties the series behind a great night from three, and we'll talk about it all, so don't go anywhere. When we get back, we'll be discussing round two of the NBA playoffs. Okay, so we are back, and as always, man, this is Lock It or Leave It. I'm your host, Jay, and joining me is my other host, Cam. Cam, congratulations to him. Got that new job down in Fort Lauderdale. So talk about what you do, man.
Yeah, thank you. Always love doing this. As you said, I live in Fort Lauderdale. I work for a sports publisher now we work with every major sports team in the nation, actually. Then the publication I'm working on right now is the Dolphins yearbook. So if anybody's trying to put a sports ad in, we currently still have the spots open next to Tyreek Hill and Tua. So if you want to drop a check and put your advertisement in the yearbook, hit me up.
Yeah, absolutely. And then tossing it to our next and other host, that's Aaron. Aaron, I told you earlier that when we get down there, I'm going to have to show all the boys who's still the king of that court, man. How you doing, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. Cole Park is now reopened. They redid the surface. They're starting to crack. It was a little slick. Wasn't the best spot to play outdoor hoops, but they redid it. The city did. So should be a lot of great games there for years to come. Very excited about that.
Yeah, well, without further ado, I just want to hop in and start talking about these playoff games. But let's hop into the Mavericks-Suns series. First one going off. We saw the Mavs tie it up 2-2. I don't know if you guys were watching that game, but I put a player prop in. Devin Booker over 26.5 points, and I put it through Prize Picks. Use our code LEAVE to get 100% back on your deposit up to $100. Cam, thank you for advising me to stay away from Phoenix Moneyline. I checked where the money percent was. 84% on Phoenix. I stayed away. What do you take away from that game, man? What did you see that Dallas did that can maybe be replicated into game five?
Yeah, I mean, when you texted me this morning and was like, yo, like Suns money line today, like it's 2-point spread, I was like, dude, like I'm not touching that. Like it's just, especially once you sent the money percentage, like regardless of that, like Dallas is scary when they're hitting their shots. And like we saw that obviously today with the way Luka and Finney Smith shot from three. I mean, not as much Luka, but Finney Smith had his career playoff high today. Like that's unbelievable performance from him. I mean, this Dallas team is tough, bro. Like any one of them gets hot. Like Jalen Brunson took over the other night as well. And as I said earlier, I am CP0 rings cannot lead your team to the playoffs or to the championship. True point guards do not get you as far as they used to. It's very hard to win with a true point guard.
What I'll say about that, I'll stay on the Mavericks for 1 second, man. You're absolutely right. And this was the perfect game for you and Aaron. The Mavs put up 44 three-point attempts. They hit 20 of them. They outscored the Suns at the three-point line by 33 points. They were shooting with conviction. You had people like Davi Bertans, Dorian Finney-Smith, Maxi Kleber, Reggie Bullock, etc., all draining from three, man. And it's really cool to see that they actually doubled or nearly doubled the Suns in three-point attempts. The Suns were 9 for 25. They go 20 for 44. I think that was a huge part of the game because at first, in the first half, we saw that the Suns were completely dominating them in the free throw area. And the reason why? Because they weren't getting to the paint. They were just raining threes on their opponents, man. Cam, what do you want to say?
I just want to remind you one more time when Trent Forrest came on the pod and he told you that Quinn Snyder has instructed them to shoot 50 three-pointers. So technically, Dallas didn't even shoot enough threes today, and they still beat the Suns' ass.
Yeah, absolutely. Ak, I'll throw it to you after I say this one thing, man. Playoffs are about chess. We see that making adjustments and in-game adjustments have the ability to swing a series. In the beginning of this series for Mavs Suns, we saw the Suns say, you know what, we see Luka expending all of this energy on the offensive side of the ball. Let's make him work on defense too. So what do? Screen and roll. Get him at the top of the key. Now it's Devin Booker. Now it's Chris Paul exploiting those one-on-ones. Now, what did the Mavs do for this game that I saw? The Mavs, we were talking about it too, the announcers. What they did is they said, DeAndre Ayton's your anchor in the middle. Let's take him out. Let's draw him to the 3-point line. Let's play five out the way you guys love to see basketball play five out. And then let's swing the ball around. Because that anchor isn't there. That means people are chasing after swing passes, leading to open corner threes. I don't know how many corner threes we saw Dorian Finney-Smith hit today, but it was absurd. Aaron, what are some takeaways from this game that you saw?
I mean, the Mavs really go as the role players go. Luka's going to give you the same thing mostly night in and night out. But it's going to come down to whether the role players can hit their shots. I mean, you touched on it earlier. Dorian Finney-Smith was lighting it up. The Latvian laser, Davis Bertāns, was lighting it up. Reggie Bullock hit some big shots. It's going to come down to those guys. You know, at the end of the day, do they have the ice in their veins? Are they able to hit those big shots in crunch time and big games? And we're about to find out. I made some comments earlier on one of our pods that I think Dallas is a sleeper pick for me to go a long way in the playoffs. And I like them beating Phoenix in the series straight up.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see how the best players in this league can all get their buckets, can all get their food this in different ways, in different ways. We see that Giannis is more of a build ahead of steam and attack you and just go to the basket. He's a battering ram. But Luka's the opposite. Luka plays bully ball. When you give Luka the ball at the post and he's backing someone down, he does not have any friends when it comes to that point. Devin Booker was getting it. They had many occasions where Campaign was being Minnie Mouse in the paint today. Man, I love the bully ball from Luka. I think it also allows the doubles to draw in. He kicks back out for what more 3-point attempts, man. So Cam, chime in a little bit right here.
I just want to, I mean, I think you made great points, especially Luka has some of the best footwork, obviously, in the game. And it's crazy to see the difference in what Luka can do with three dribbles and less versus Giannis's three dribbles, because Giannis's three dribbles are three steps from half court into dunk. But with Luka, it's three moves, step through off the glass. Like, just he's one of the best players to watch in this game. And I agree with Aaron, and I would love to see the Suns lose because they've always been pretenders.
Yeah, Chris Paul, man, you were talking about this pretender thing. I won't go that far, but I will say that Chris Paul, man, he died by his own sword, man. He's been doing those same moves in this league for how long? And now those moves were getting called against him, and he wasn't even complaining that much. He's like, you know what? Damn, they finally got my ass. This guy caught the ball with four fouls and tried to run in front of Jalen Brunson and fall down and try to get a ticky-tack foul. The refs, we're not going to let that pass. We're not letting that pass. The sixth foul, it was all Chris Paul's fault. Couldn't keep his hands to himself. He swiped down on the layup attempt by, I think, Jalen Brunson that gave him a six. But what does that do? That means that Campaign is now checking Luka off those ISOs. So big swings going on there. And the last point I want to make before we go to the next series is JaVale McGee. This guy actually really, really became a much better player. We saw early in his career, he was more of a Shaq than a fool type of guy. Now I saw him. He catches a pass off the screen and roll, tries to make a layup. It's a charge. The next possession, he does the same thing. Instead, does the short roll, catches it before the charge gets there, hits a floater. The play after that, same thing, short roll, sees the defender come, take the charge instead, kicks it to the corner for three. I love what the Suns are doing. And the last question I want to ask to Cam is, we're seeing these bigs with Chris Paul all thrive. It doesn't matter who it is. If it's Steven Adams on the Thunder, if it's DeAndre Ayton, if it's JaVale McGee, anyone he plays with, Clint Capella, anyone he plays with who's a big man will always eat and get a big contract. Do you think they should keep DeAndre Ayton this offseason? Or do they just try to get an adequate big man to pair with the rest of their team?
You're going to disagree with me, but I'm not paying DeAndre Ayton what he's going to want. He's going to want the whole bag. We know this, and they already have, like, that team is just, it's unless you have Joel Embiid or Jokic, there's a pretty big drop off in centers after those two. I'm not saying DeAndre Ayton's bad. He's well above average. He's one of the better centers in the league. But I don't know. Is he worth max money? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think with centers these days, if you don't have any semblance of an outside game the way that Ayton kind of doesn't, even though he had it a little bit at Arizona, not sure what happened to it, but it's kind of tough to really offer them the max. You know, they're so limited in the modern game. They're just not valued the same way they used to be. So I don't think he's worth the max. I think taking that max money and spending it on some role player big men that fit the system are a much better use of those funds. I think it goes a lot further if you spread it out over two, maybe even three, you know, mid-tier free agent signings as opposed to paying DeAndre Ayton $40 million a year. You can get three guys at like the 10 to 15 million range. I think that's a much better use of that money.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on both sides. And I got one quick thing to say, man. If the Suns don't pay DeAndre, Charlotte will give you the goddamn bag. I'm telling you, DeAndre, if they don't give you the bag, the Hornets will give you the bag. We need a center. DeAndre Ayton, he's shooting like 70% from the field, man. Whenever I see him catch the ball in the nail, mid-post, that jumper's clean. He catches it. He doesn't think twice. The second he catches it, it's a hook shot or he's going up cleaning the glass. But on the other hand, we're seeing Bismack Biyombo come in when Ayton's in foul trouble and still eat, and that's because of Chris Paul and the playmakers they have on that team. Cam, chime in, and then we'll go to the next series.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, especially with Bismack Biyombo. With any big man does thrive with Chris Paul. We've seen that on the Thunder. We've seen him on the Rockets with Clint Capella. But, I mean, Aaron's exactly right. Like, unless Ayton doesn't have the outside game to stay with these modern centers, and how many more years does Devin Booker have left on his contract? Doesn't he only have one more year?
Let me check that while you're.
Yeah, I mean, I think Devin Booker only has one more year on his contract before he's an unrestricted free agent. So, I think you have to save the money because you're not letting Booker walk. So, I'm pretty confident that he only has one more year left on his deal. So, I think that's what you got to do. You got to save the money for him.
Yeah, so in 2024, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Let's say in 2023, 2024, the year before. Yeah, he has one more full season, basically.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So we'll see. It's a big question because the Suns on their payroll, CP is going to be there for a little bit longer too. So we'll see. But I don't want to stay on this series for too long. Let's go to the next series that happened yesterday, which is the Bucks-Celtics. What an absolute thriller that was. At the same time, Cam and I took a bad beat. We got to talk about it. We talk about when we have good bets, and we got to talk about when we lose some also. So we have conference calls every day talking about where the money should go for that particular day, what teams were liking, what props were liking. And we use Prize Picks for this. I'll say it again. Use the code LEAVE. Get 100% back in your deposit up to $100. We put a three-teamer in. We said, you know what? I think Al Horford has a game. I think he has a game. It was at 10.5. So we're like, you know what? Yeah, let's add that in. That's one. Next one. Who else do we think has a game? Maybe let's go for the role players. Grayson Allen. It was at 10.5. We bought it down to 10. We even ate our vegetables on it. And then we have Bucks money line, three-team parlay. I think it was plus 321, 32 for 100. That 100 was such a nice number to put into Prize Picks also. Or 32 to get that payout. Man, what a number that was. Start off the game, Al Horford has two threes in the first quarter. I'm elated as fuck. I'm like, whoa, we are cruising. We're off to the races. And then Grayson Allen doesn't take the attempts needed, gets in foul trouble early, throwing the ball away. He's giving Coach Bud, Coach Mike Budenholzer, every single reason to sub him out and put Pat in. And that's exactly what he did. The one thing I want to say about the Bucks is they are deep at the guard position. If Grayson Allen isn't playing well, Wesley Matthews hops in. If Wesley's not doing well, Pat Connaughton comes in. If Pat can't do it, then they got other players. George Hill just came back from injury. They're deep there. Cam, talk me through that bet because we felt confident going in and everything hit so smoothly except for Grayson Allen. Over 9.5 points.
See, I originally just wanted to throw it all in the Bucks, but I didn't end up doing that. Grayson Allen, man, you're killing me, bro. I mean, I don't like him because he had that dirty play. I mean, I've not liked him since his Duke days, but I specifically didn't like him this season for that dirty play in Caruso. But I actually made friends with him again. I bet on him earlier. Like I put $100 on him to do something, and he rewarded me, and I was like, all right, like I'll forgive you. But now he's right back in the doghouse. So I unfortunately I'm probably gonna do something with him again. But you're back in the doghouse, Grayson. Al Horford had probably one of the best games he's had all season, by the way. I think he had like 22 and 15. Like, way to go, Al Horford. Shout out to you. But yeah, Grayson, what you wet the bed and you're in the doghouse. And I really, really, really don't want to watch you play tomorrow.
I have a really interesting question for Aaron, but let me preface it by saying this, that OKC seems like the destination for careers to die. You know, they're like, you know what? He's getting paid a little too much money. He's not the same player he was when we signed him to the extension. Let's trade him to OKC for some draft picks, right? Chris Paul gets sent there. He gets sent into, what's it called? Into asylum at Oklahoma City Thunder. And then Al Horford gets sent there. All these vets who everyone gave up on. But what happens? They become humble. They get to OKC. They're around young guys. They're like, you know what? I really appreciate when I was winning and not tanking in seasons and being sat out for games that they don't even want me to contribute in a win because they want the draft pick. When Al Horford got to the Celtics, what an absolute game-changing move by them, getting back someone who knew the system, who's been with those guys before when they went to the Eastern Conference Finals earlier. Man, well, what an addition by them. Al Horford is doing really good or really well in ACC. I want to talk to you about this. How well do you think, or how much do you think mid-level unknown guys, maybe people who have been, you know, sent away or cast away, how big can those pieces be when the playoffs comes?
They can be huge on a, you know, per dollar basis. That's where you're gonna get your best values, the mid-level free agents. Like he's mentioned, Al Horford, Chris Paul coming back to the Suns. Bigger contract on him, but it sucks. Horford was late on that tip-in at the end, man. I wanted overtime so bad. It was such a great basketball game. I wanted more. I wanted more. So I can't wait to see what this series turns out to be. If Tatum is just not on his worst behavior, Celtics win that game going away. So I think it's better be a fun rest of the series. I think the Celtics are the better team in my opinion, but they got to claw back from a little deficit now. So it's going to be an interesting climb back.
Cam, what's your mindset if you're the Celtics going into game four? Because the Bucks came in, they stole home court from you, but they did their job. They took game three. If you take game four, you're right back where you want to be. It's at that point, 3-game series, and two of them are at your home. What's your mindset going into game four if you're the Celtics head coach?
I mean, I think it's a must-win game for Boston. I mean, you could definitely get back there for game seven, but you're gonna have to go. That's just a longer road. You're gonna have to win in Milwaukee. I consider this a must-win game tomorrow for Boston. I don't know if the spread's come out yet, but I expect it to be a pretty close regard nonetheless. But Boston's got it. Tatum's got to be better, number one. Jaylen Brown's got to shoot well. The role, I mean, Al Horford's going to have to play good defense again on Giannis. I mean, didn't really slow him down that much. He still had 40 something, but anything is better than nothing again with that guy. I think Al Horford's going to have to show up again, though, and have another big game for them to stay competitive.
Yeah, Aaron, let me ask you this question, man. We saw that Tatum didn't have the best game in that game three. Do you think or do you predict a bounce back from Tatum? Do you think his over that is currently at 28.5, do you think that he can make that over at 29 going into game four of this playoff series?
Man, I definitely think he has a bounce back, but I don't know about 20 and a half. That's high. It's a lot of points. But I've gotten burned on, you know, over-unders that I thought were way too high in the past. So I'm gonna go bounce back, but I don't think he gets the 28 and a half. You know, me and Cam actually once bet on a Jason Tatum over-under. I believe it was what, 26 and a half or something. He had 26 through three. He didn't play the fourth quarter because they were up 30. Brutal, brutal beat. So I'm going under on Jason Tatum just because of that.
I also just checked, by the way, if anybody's curious, the spread for tomorrow's game is Milwaukee minus one. So not a lot of value there on either side.
So, kind of going off that, the last thing I kind of want to add on to this series is that Middleton's absence was very apparent during the end of that game. We saw that the Bucks kind of let the Celtics walk them down in the fourth quarter. They're up 14 at one point in the fourth. Celtics came back and took a lead at one point. So we saw that that closer, that guy who can get you a bucket from the wing whenever you need it, was very, very much missed during that series. And then we'll take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll be talking about the Warriors versus Suns and kind of checking in on the 76ers versus Heat game. We'll be right back. Okay, so we are back and we're going to talk about the Warriors versus Suns. The Warriors are up 2-1. They defended home court, winning game three. We saw that Ja Morant had an injury. He's likely to be ruled out game four. Cam, we had a series bet, a series price on this one. We caught it at minus 245 before the series started. How confident are we feeling about that? Loan, mortgage, everything. 401k, housing, everything that we put on that bet. How are you feeling about that bet that we did right now?
I mean, I'm feeling great. The Warriors took game one. That was always a nice start. I expect them to win tomorrow again. It's a 10-point spread, so I'm not sure about that one. But without with even if Ja plays, he's not going to be 100%. So I expect the Warriors to be up 3-1 heading back to Memphis. Five or six, this is not going seven games, but I likely think it's going to be over in Memphis. I know Draymond doesn't want to go back all the way to Golden State. So, plus, if you can get some extra rest between before having to deal with the Suns Mavs team, all the better for the team.
Yeah, I think the Grizzlies are toast. I think the series is over. Warriors Suns is going to be a really fun conference finals. A lot of points, some defense, but a lot more points. I'm really looking forward to that. You guys know I love offensive explosions. I love deep three pointers. So, Suns Warriors, Western Conference Finals. Really looking forward to it.
I'm thinking about this right now, and the Grizzlies should be happy that they got this far. The Ja Morant injury, if he is out game four, is basically a knife to the chest saying, you know what? Yeah, this is over, you know, for them. But it's really interesting. What I just actually thought of. We saw when the Warriors were kind of getting their marks in the playoffs, who they face against. They went up against the San Antonio Spurs. They had to go up against a dynasty already with proven guys who were vets as they were learning how to win themselves. And now the Grizzlies are kind of going through that same phase during their championship cycle where they run into that veteran team who's already been there, who knows how to execute down the stretch. And they're just kind of getting their marks, kind of getting their lumps as a young team, man. Ja Morant, his ascension. At this point, Cam, how many point guards are you taking over Ja Morant? It's gotta be, it can't be more than three right now, can it? You tell me.
Ooh, I mean, all right, we're not counting LeBron as a point guard number one. I just, even though he plays, brings the ball up as their handler, I just
Luka
am
can
not good
count
with
as a
that.
point.
Yeah, I'll get Luka and Steph in it. He might be
Ooh,
three.
might be three, right? At this point, I think he's averaging 29, 7, and 8 in his playoff career, which is insane.
I mean, Dame's usually in that conversation as well, but we haven't seen him all season, so I'm not. And I know you like to live in the present, so we might have to give Ja that number three spot, especially with Trey getting eliminated already. So,
Aaron, or do you agree with that take? I see your face, you're kind of grimacing a little bit.
I think the Grizzlies are ahead of schedule. I think Ja's a great player. I just don't know. I don't see them putting it together. I think they need a few more pieces in there. I don't think this is the squad. I think they're close, but I think they could use one more, I'm gonna say big name free agent, because Memphis is not historically a place that gets a lot of those. But I think they're close, but I think they need a couple more pieces.
Well, if you're Memphis's GM, you're kind of your thought process is, well, we have our young star. We have a defensive player of the year in Jaren Jackson Jr., who, although I can't, Jaren Jackson, we bet his over at 7.5 rebounds. He had seven in the third quarter. He fouls out. He averaged 5.2 fouls in the series against the Timberwolves. 5.2 fouls a game. Absolutely insane. If he can clean up the fouls, they have a 3-and-D guy like almost no other player in the league. He hit seven threes game two against the Warriors in that win. I just think that he's a really good player, clean up the fouls. But Desmond Bane, he's only in his second year. You have people that they drafted, Zaire Williams coming off the bench, but that dude is 6'8", giving you good defense, can hit some threes, and he's athletic on the break. Xavier Tillman, I'm not saying he's a great player, but you have these young guys. I think they're kind of like the OKC Thunder, not with the talent, let's say, not three MVPs worth, but give them some time to develop. I think those guys are only going to get better, Cam.
I know it's got to hurt you a little bit that that Desmond Bane draft pick should have belonged to the LA. I know that hurts just a little bit. And I know you saw that comment the other day when he asked him, he thinks he's the second best 3-point shooter in the league behind Steph. So I don't know if he's quite there yet, but he said the only shooter that's better than him is Steph, and that man could have been a Laker.
Let the record show that in our 2020 pre-draft podcast, me and Jay called this with Desmond Bane. We saw it coming. You guys know we watch a lot of college hoops. We watched some TCU that year and said, wow, this guy's got it all. What do we see that no one else is seeing? So I just want to give us a little pat on the back for that one.
So let's go on to the last series, man. The 76ers versus the Heat. Right now, the score of that game is 76ers 109, Heat 101, with 3 minutes left in the fourth. We'll see how these teams close it out. Sixers, if they can tie it up, they force a very, very interesting game five, swing game five back in Miami, man. Who do you think can win this series? Let's say the Sixers win this game. How good of a chance, Cam, do you have them taking game five back in Miami?
First of all, I'm really hoping they win this game so I can put all of my money on Miami in the next game. That because I don't see them losing three straight, especially when they get to head back home. But I'm not liking what I'm seeing from this Miami team recently. Like they started off really well in the playoffs, but through like Duncan Robinson needs a few more minutes. I don't, he's losing. He's definitely getting traded in the offseason, but you can't have a shooter like that only shooting three threes per game and playing 7, 6 minutes. I understand the defensive liability, but he's still, you got to find a way to get him more involved. Also, I have to give a shout out to Joel Embiid putting on the show he did the other night. He didn't have the best game he's ever had, but 20, like 20 and 13, 20 and 14, something like that. But making plays on the defensive end. And when he's out there, he just invigorates all of his teammates to play better all the time. They just get fired up seeing him out there. He's their leader, he's their defensive anchor. And for a man who has, he has a torn ligament and in his offhand, and he has a fractured orbital bone. And Ben Simmons has back soreness and couldn't play. So you got to give Embiid his respect. I mean, all-time performance by him. And I mean, Kobe would be proud of the way Embiid's been playing in this playoffs. So your team needs wins. If he doesn't come back, they don't win the last game. There's no, Miami would have gone up 3-0, and then the series is over, because even if you win the next game, you go back to Miami, you're done. So props to him for powering through and willing his team in and giving them another chance.
Yeah, I love what you mentioned about Embiid, because he didn't have the best game. He had an 18 and 11, but the gravitational pull of Embiid out on the court is what made the difference for the Sixers. How now Bam always now Bam can't leave Paul Reed or can't leave DeAndre Jordan and help out on someone else, knowing that the only thing they can provide is being a lob threat. And we saw Bam eating. The Bam points, rebounds, assists hit game one for us so well. We used Prize Picks. Once again, I'll keep dropping that plug, man. But kind of going off of that, I wanted to talk about the Heat. You were talking about Duncan Robinson, how he's not getting playing time. The reason why is because we think the Bucks have depth at the guard position. The Heat have depth at the guard position with Max Strus, Tyler Hero, Victor Oladipo coming back from injury. You have Gabe Vincent. You have Duncan Robinson. I don't know if I said Max Strus already, but Max Strus is giving you a little bit less shooting, a little bit less reliable shooting, with a big upgrade in defense from Duncan Robinson. But I'll say this, and then we'll end this off for this series right now. The Miami Heat made a great decision extending Duncan Robinson, because Duncan Robinson was a restricted free agent. He could have signed somewhere else for whatever amount of money that team wanted to sign him for. The Heat said, no, we're going to give you 5 for 90 or 4 for 90, keep you for a year, not play you. And now what does that do? Teams in the offseason are going to be clamoring for a reliable shooter like Duncan Robinson. And instead of letting him just walk, now they can do a sign and trade and get something back for Duncan, instead of just letting him go willy-nilly to another team that he wanted to, man. This series is going to be really good. Right now, let's check this score as it updates. It is 114-103, the Sixers with a minute left. Looks like that series is going to be tied 2-2. This podcast will be out in the morning, man. You guys let us know on our Twitter and our Instagram. We'll be letting you guys know and asking questions about who do you think will win this series. I can't wait.
You gotta give Jimmy Butler his credit though. If I'm checking this box score now, Butler's got 40 right now and they're still losing. So I mean, Harden is actually having his best game of the playoffs thus far, I would say. 31, 9, and 7, 6 of 10 from deep. That kind of reminds me of old Harden from the Rockets. So I know Jay's a huge Harden hater, but hey, this Philly team, when they want to be and they get it all together, that they're good.
Yeah,
They're good.
Tyrese Maxey is just a lightning in a is lightning in a bottle. The second he catches the ball, he explodes out of his dribble. His first step is absolutely electric. I love it. Talking about that, man, the Sixers Heat series is going to be good. That's a swing game five. Another swing game five, that Mavs Suns series, so we can't wait for those, man. But we'll wrap that up. The last thing I'll make before we start these sign-offs is we're seeing that in the playoffs right now, the remaining teams, or at least most of them, are mostly organically built teams. We're not seeing all these free agents going to these teams, making super teams. No Brooklyn Nets, no Los Angeles Lakers, none of this Bleacher Report nonsense going on. It's the teams that their front office put the work in. It's the teams that actually went and put the work into the draft that are now reaping what they sowed earlier. And I love to see it. It's good for the NBA. It's showing that you can't just win, like Ak said, just off two guys. You can't just win off two guys anymore. It's about five through eight. It's about four through seven. What can those other role players provide? Let's start these sign-offs, man. Another great episode. Can't wait for these next games coming Monday. I think the Monday games are, let's see right here. The Monday game, Celtics Bucks. Let's see if the Celtics can force another good swing game five and Grizzlies Warriors. Cam, give me one pick that you like for tomorrow, and then thank you for coming on, man. Peace.
Well, I honestly haven't taken quite a look yet. I like to do a little more research before, but I am absolutely not touching the outcome of the Bucks Celtics game tomorrow. That is major red flags. So we're not getting involved. I actually don't hate Grizzlies with the points, though. I mean, it depends on if Ja plays. If Ja plays, it'd probably go to what? Minus plus 12, minus 12 for the Warriors if Ja officially gets ruled out. I think he's going to try to play though. I mean, even if he's hurt, they need this game. So if they can't go down 3-1. So, ooh, I don't know. I don't have a solid pick yet, but I am going to ride the Grizzlies and the points because I think 10's a little too much.
It's all pretty close right now. Like I said earlier, I think we got a Dubs Suns conference final in the West. East, I'm liking the Bucks. And that Heat Sixers series really tripping me up. I think it's gonna come down to the wire. It's gonna be a game seven. I can't give you an answer. I think it's very close matchup with two great teams. If I had to pick a side, I'd lean the Sixers, especially if Embiid can play even close to a healthy level. I love Bam Adebayo down there, but I think Embiid just a little bit better, giving the Sixers a slight edge there.
Yeah, so to wrap this up, I'll give you this little two-teamer that I kind of like before. You guys can see this. It'll be out by the time the game goes on. We'll see how this happens. I just crafted this in my head real quick. What we learned while we're betting is once you bet on someone and it hits very well, you kind of want to stay away from it the second time. You don't want to die on that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope Hill that Cam and I have died on way too many times. When you see the over 1.5 threes, you take it the first time he is five, and you're thinking, I'm ripping this until it doesn't hit. Lo and behold, it doesn't hit the next six times. So you want to stay away from those. So by that logic, Jaylen Brown had a great game two, had a great game three. His over right now is at 24.5. We're going Jaylen Brown under 24.5 points in Milwaukee. That's number one. That's the first leg of the parlay. Jaylen Brown under 24.5. And what are we pairing that with? We're pairing it with my guy Klay. I think he found that rhythm that he came back. He's coming off screens, shooting one-legged three-pointers off the line. He's back in Golden State. That crowd loves him. He's comfortable in that arena. We're taking Klay over 4.5 threes. I think this is going to be a slaughter an absolute slaughter by the Warriors, and they take that commanding 3-1 series lead. That's that two-teamer. Put it in on Prize Picks. You can do either the one that lets you do a flex play, or you can go all in, do the 2 for 2. Use the code LEAVE, get 100% back in your deposit. Cam, thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, absolutely. I love doing this. Love it. Got some more content coming for you guys. We're going to have some articles coming up soon, as soon as I get my computer fixed in the shop. But stay on the lookout for this episode to be posted. Just keep on our social media. Bolts are tied up with the Maple Leafs, their series right now. A lot going on in the hockey world as well, so keep track of that.
Yeah, what's going on with the Bolts, bro?
Come on, they just tied the series up.
They got crushed at home the other night, though.
Yeah, we won 7-3 tonight. Put up
all
seven
right,
goals
but,
on the Leafs. So.
All right, but that's not what I was going to say. We got a lot of great guests coming up. I've got a lot of things in the works, but stay tuned for those. I know we haven't had one in a little bit, but we are getting back to that. Got 3 or 4 probably in the works right now, so stay tuned for those.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep interacting with us on Twitter, on Instagram. Thank you guys for showing the love. Thank you guys for listening to this podcast. And if you're hearing this for the first time, it takes 5 seconds. Give us that 5-star rating and on Spotify and or on Apple. So thank you guys again. Can't wait for these next round of games. That'll be all for tonight, man. You'll see us tomorrow. Peace.